Chavis Aldova's Shir, Women, Sunday, Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh. It's Rosh Chodesh Kislev, Aleph Kislev, Tov Shinayin Hay, Sunday afternoon, Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh. Okay, we're learning Chavis Aldova's Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh. We're in Perek Gimel, and he has 30 things that he says people should think about when you walk in the street, when you're doing dishes. At any time, you don't always have to fill up the gap with noise. You could think, which is a lost art. It's not an art, it's a science, but it's a lost science. People don't like to think anymore. They say, my kids tell me, but you're making me think, I'm getting a headache. So, if you look in the Chavis HaLovas, those of you who have texts, which I always urge people to have, Hamashlim Hashloshim, he calls it the closer, the thing, right, the culminator. We're going to culminate number 30. Hamashlim Hashloshim. And it's really not just, it's not just a cute poetic way of saying number 30, but this really sums up everything. It sums up our whole lives. It sums up our Avodas Hashem. It sums up everything he's said till now, everything the Chavis HaLovas is about. The point of the Sefer Chavis HaLovas is to serve Hashem with, it really boils down to, with sincerity, with truth, with really, like we really feel that way. You make a bracha, we really feel grateful. It's not enough to say we're grateful, we feel grateful. And that is really an avoda that is not easy. You know, do we feel grateful? We're used to things, we take things for granted, we feel entitled to them. When we say moda'ani, even if we know what the words mean, and even if we mean to thank Hashem, but feeling grateful is a whole different world. And the Chavis HaLovas was written about serving Hashem with your feelings. With feelings based on intellect, as he's always very careful to say, not feelings of an emotional sort that has no intellectual backing. That's why he's so insistent that you delve into everything and understand it and be convinced of it. But then it's a Chavis HaLovas. It's the way you feel about Hashem, the way you feel about all the things that he talks about. We said that the 30 things in Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh are basically a summary of this. It's a summary plus of the Sefer. And if you want to have a cheat and chazer over the Yesodos of the Sefer, you really just have to learn these 30 things. But that's private between us. You're not allowed to tell anybody. That's cheating. Number 30 is sort of a summary of all the 30 things. That's why he calls it Hamashlim Hashloshim. Now, if you can truly, again, the key word is feel. The whole Sefer of the Chavis HaLovas, the key words are understand, internalize, and then you have to feel it. It has to be true. You can't just say and understand that you're supposed to be grateful. When something happens, if someone saves my life, if someone saves my child's life, if someone gets me a job, I truly feel grateful. No one has to tell me to say thank you. I feel grateful. I know the feeling. I know the feeling of gratefulness. And when we say moda'ani, I would suggest that most people don't feel grateful to Hashem that they're alive. They don't feel it. Either because they're in a rush and they want to get the day started and it takes too much time to dwell on it. To that I want to tell you, it would only take time to dwell on it for the first week. Afterwards, you will feel a rush of gratitude and it won't take any time. You'll just feel that way. If someone saved your life, so you don't have to think, doesn't take time to feel grateful. You feel grateful. This is a little unfamiliar to us, and we feel entitled to wake up in the morning and or we're used to it, which is almost the same thing, not quite, but almost. You know, the more it happens, and the more rogil I am, the more I feel entitled it should happen. Well, entitled is even, you know, you lose sight of the fact that it's a chiddush. Even if you feel it's a chiddush, you can feel entitled to the chiddush. But sometimes you don't even feel it's a chiddush. Like you wake up in the morning, you're like, what else should happen? Well, if I'm sure we all know someone that didn't wake up in the morning, you know. It's a, you know, you don't wake, not everybody wakes up in the morning. The whole sefer is not worth learning, excuse the expression, if we don't cultivate that we should feel all the things he talks about. And that's why I say, you know, that's why he always brings real life examples to things. For example, Bashar HaBachina, he says, imagine a bum in the street, in the park, homeless, penniless, no purpose to his life, dirty, doesn't know where his next penny's coming from, doesn't have a place to live, and the governor of the state, the melech, drives by, sees him, picks him up, takes him home, dresses him, clothes him, bathes him, feeds him, pays for tutors to teach him, go to school, gets him a job, buys him a house. Now that's Hashem. That's what Hashem does for us, and much, much, much more. Because Hashem gives us life, existence, and life as a Jew, and so on and so forth. Why don't we feel grateful? Well, that's what he spends the beginning of Shaar HaBechina talking about. And he gives three reasons why we don't feel grateful. My point is that even after we learn Shaar HaBechina, and after we go through all the 30 things here, it's still not a simple thing, and it's very hard, and even people who, I say, you could say moda'ani with kavana, you can bench with kavana, but it's still not, it's not what the Chavis HaMavos wants. He wants you to feel grateful, to feel, thank you Hashem. You know, let's say you marry off a child, you know. So maybe for a few seconds by the chasana you feel grateful to Hashem. You know, you really feel it, you know. Then you have to, that we should always feel that. And he wants us to feel grateful that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and to feel grateful that he gave us the Torah, and to feel grateful that our kidneys are functioning, and to feel grateful that we don't have any number of diseases, right? All these things he talks about, I'm just repeating it over and over. My point is to stress that he wants us to feel grateful. Sometimes people don't have, they learn the Chavis HaLavos like, you know, they're going to take a test on it, and they're going to answer the questions on the test. Feeling grateful, we have it if someone, right, if someone would find us a job, save our lives, give us, like, you know, I always wanted a car, give us a car, you know, you really feel grateful. That's hard. With Hashem, that's what we have to reach. Anyway, number 30 is, again, number 30 sort of sums up all the 30 things, which sum up the whole sefer. If you can do number 30, you're on your way to Avodas Hashem and success in our Avodas Hashem. Number 30 is a certain mental attitude. It's mental gymnastics. It's a trick. He tells you to imagine something, and then he turns around and says, you know something? You're not imagining it. It's true. You just never thought about it this way. So if we can use the power of our imagination, which is a gift from Hashem, that we have a power of imagination. If we have the power of imagination, if we can imagine what he's going to describe in number 30, and then he says, guess what? It's true. This is the truth. Then all the fallout that he describes, but it's good fallout. I don't know if the word fallout is used for good things. All the ramifications of this mental attitude that we're able to inculcate in ourselves, that'll result in sincere avodas Hashem, and it'll bring you to be able to do all the 30, all the other 29 things, and it'll be able to bring you the whole sefer. So now, after such a build-up, this better be great, right? Cheshbon Adam and Nafsho, to think about. That's the Chavitavovus's definition. There was a way he's using the words Cheshbon HaNefesh, Lachshov, from the word Machshava, to think about. B'tnoi HaGeirus Bolam Hazeh, to realize that you're a stranger in this world, meaning everything is an illusion. It's you and Hashem. Hashem is responsible for your existence here. Hashem provides you with everything you have and everything you need, and he's responsible for everything you don't have. There's no one else. It's not the boss, it's not your spouse, it's not your children, it's not your friend. There's no one here. You have to... They're all shluchim from Hashem. It's just you and Hashem. And he says, I want you to imagine that you landed in a strange land. You're a stranger. Right? You woke up and you're in Norway. You're in Iceland. You're in a strange place. You don't know the language. You don't have any connections. No one can help you. You don't know anybody. No one knows you. You're all alone. And all there is this melech that brought you there. And he's fine with you. He likes you. He's going to give you what you need to survive in this land. You need friends, he's going to get your friends. But it's going to, him. Everything's totally, everything's dependent on him. You don't know anybody. You can't cultivate, you're zero. You're at ground zero. And the melech is doing everything for you. The yachshav ma'aloso bo, he has to imagine your status in this world. Milus Adam Nachri, like the status of a stranger. He gia loritz Nachriya, he came to a strange land. He has no friends, he has no connections. He doesn't know, no protection, no friends that he could say, oh, you're here, Baruch Hashem, maybe you could tell me where the best place to shop is, where I can get a job, where I can rent a room to live in. There's nobody. You have no one. Medina, you don't know anybody. And no one knows you. No one's your pal. No one's gonna automatically help you. Ella, Sa'adone Hamadina, the owner of this island, Chamal Olav, has pity on you, likes you, is gonna take care of you. Lugay Russo, you have no one else, so you're dependent on him. Fahoreyu, and he tells you how to live on the island, like, you know, the rules. You gotta follow the rules. He tells you the rules. Mashi yitakein in yonobo. V'nosin lo mizono yom yom. And every day, he gives you what you need. But the tzivahu, he says, listen, shalo yamre es pihu, don't rebel against me, don't disobey me. Your whole being here is only thanks to me. You have nothing else. You have nothing else. So, you have to obey me. I'm going to tell you a few rules. You have to follow the rules of the island. You have to follow my rules. Lo lavra mitzvaso. Don't negate what I say. And just to make sure, he's going to give him a reward if he listens to him, even though that's the only way he's going to exist here. And he's going to take care of him. But he says, you know what, just to be sure, because I like you, I'm going to reward you if you listen to me, and I'm going to punish you if you don't listen to me. The yachalo, meaning he makes him look forward to, the yafchido, and he scares him, the gemul, the reward, uba'onesh. Kfi haroi luzman v'amokum, you know, in an appropriate way. And he says, you know, one day you're going to leave the island, but I'm not telling you when. I'm not telling you when. You're not going to know when you're going to leave. The zero alanasiya, you're going to leave the island one day. Don't spend your time making friends or putting down roots or don't waste your time. You know, what you need to do to survive, good, I'm letting you. You can make friends. You know, you're going to now build up your relationships. But don't spend too much time on it, because one day, I'm not telling you when. Like, you could spend a lot of time cultivating something and then goodbye. The next minute you're not here anymore.
That's a new sentence. Now, if you want to, we should make a video. We should make a play. The women should put on a play. I won't watch it. It's okay.
If you were really enterprising,
you would make this into a play and a video. A person washes up on the island, and the scribe, and this is what the Chedesh HaLovus says, everyone should look at themselves in this world this way. He's not even up to that yet. He's still in the world of imagination. He says, now think of how this person will live. If, right, this is the situation, and now he says, Menatnom Shuchayev Bohem, what's absolute, what just logic and common sense, once the person realizes, he's here at the mercy of the king, with the king is the one that's, he has no other, there's no one else that's gonna help him, or look at him, or be with him, or do anything for him, he knows no one, no one knows him, he's a stranger, it's just him and the king. The king says, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you. And you're going to do what's necessary to live, and I'm going to tell you what you're not allowed to do, and I'm going to teach you the rules, and I'm going to provide you with everything you need. I'll provide you with friends. I'll provide you with... But everything's coming from me. You don't have any way of making friends. Everyone's going to ignore you unless I tell them to be your friend, unless I tell them to have a relationship with you. Everything is coming from me. You are here at my behest. You are here at my whim. You are here at my, because I want you here, and everything you have is because I want you to have it. You have nothing else. You're a stranger. Otherwise, Robinson Crusoe. You're on the island. You're all alone. So now, he goes through a very interesting list of how the person will live. Well, how the person will look at himself, how he'll live, his attitudes, his hanhogos. And they're all, you know, you have to think about it. You know, taka. Indeed, do. Or you can question the Chavis HaLovus, you could say, I don't see why the person would be that way. But this is what he says. He's now going to describe the person. Number one is, Hakniyah v'hashiflus v'alazov ha'gaiva. This person is not going to be a balgaiva. He's not going to put on ears because he feels hopeless. He feels he has nothing. What are you going to be a balgaiva? If you're nothing and you're totally dependent on whatever the king decides to give you, right? So even if he gives you $1 million, you're not going to be a balgaiva because you have $1 million, because you know very well that you only have it because he gave it to you and he can take it away tomorrow. And there's no one here that's, you didn't cultivate any other means of survival. There are no other means of survival. So you're going to be nichna. This is very important to the Chavis HaLovus. Number one. Well, first, he's not giving musa yet. He's saying, just imagine. First of all, the person's going to be humble. He's not going to go around arrogant and pompous. And if he's a real person, he knows that he's nothing. He has nothing. Everything is at the mercy of the king. Hakniyah v'hashiflus v'lazov ha'gaiva v'lehisrachek min ha'gom v'hagova. He's going to be the farthest thing from pompousness and arrogance. K'mo shomar b'inyan hazeh, very interesting pasuk he quotes by Lot, that Anshei Sdom said to Lot, ha'echad ba'logur v'yishbo tshofot. You're a stranger here. You're nobody here. You're a nobody. Who are you? You're coming now to tell us how to live? That's what Anshei Sdom told Lot. You're carrying on ears. You're nothing. You landed here without a stitch of clothing on you. Everything you have, someone gave you. So that's number one. Number two is, he's going to always be prepared to leave. He can leave at any second. He's not going to waste time doing things that have nothing to do, that are irrelevant for when he eventually leaves. He'll say, oh, let me have a stamp collection. But let's say he can't take it with him. He knows he can't take it with him. So when am I going to waste time? Now, I'm not against stamp collections. but the point of the Chavis HaLovus is that a stamp collection has to be for a reason. There has to be an Avodas Hashem in it. If you say it relaxes you, if you say it stimulates you intellect, there has to be a cheshbon. Don't have even Chavis HaLovus doesn't want you to have even a hobby, chas v'sholem, that's not meaningful. Now, again, it might be relaxing, it might be intellectually stimulating. Those are the only two things I can think of. It might be you're interested in it, you want to pursue intellectual curiosity, you want to know it, you want to know the history behind the stamps, but there has to be a good reason, not because I want to know it. Who are you? What are you? What are you wasting your time for? Tomorrow you could leave the island, so you look like, feel like a fool for wasting your time. You're only going to do things that you could take with you that are meaningful. So what you need to survive, you got to have it to survive. You're not leaving the island if you don't survive. But anything more than survival, you have to think long and hard if it's something that's worthwhile to spend my time on. Because my time on the island is limited. I don't have so much time here. So I have to pick and choose what I'm going to be doing. Why would I do something that's not relevant to for when I leave? He's just describing the guy. We can make our own list. I'm on an island. I don't know anybody. No one's giving me anything. I'm not getting anything. Only what the king decides to give me, and he tells me I'm leaving any second. Any day I could leave. Any minute. So the Chazal Baruch says, first of all, you're going to be very humble. You're not going to be pompous and arrogant. You're going to put on airs. Number two is you're going to do things that are relevant for when you leave. You're not going to just sit back and relax and be on vacation. You know, because you're going to leave. And he brings another pasuk, interesting pasuk again. He's talking about selling the land in Eretz Yisrael. Forever. The context is Yovel, when lands go back to their owners. But the key words he wants us to lock into is Kigeir v'soshovim atem imodi. These are the words he wants to resonate with us. You are gerim, you are strangers, you are here temporarily, you're sojourners, whatever, however you pronounce that word. You're here on a visit. So what are you selling the land forever? Who are you to sell the land forever? It's not yours forever. It's not yours. You're here for a couple of years. How many years? You know, the chesed of rachamim, 120 years. That's a drop in the bucket. Nothing. What's 120 years? Huh. So that's number two. This person, again, he's not giving musa yet. He's describing a person. The person's going to be humble. The person's going to make sure he does things that that'll be meaningful for when he leaves, because he can leave at any moment. He's going to learn the rules, right? He's here. He doesn't belong here. He doesn't deserve to be here. He's a stranger here. He's going to learn the rules. Only in America an immigrant doesn't have to learn the rules. But a normal immigrant says, I better learn the rules of the country or they're going to kick me out.
They just have to pass the citizenship test.
Umehem. They don't have to pass anything anymore. They just have to go to Obama. Umehem sheyachkar al dosei ha-medina. He's going to want to find out the rules of the medina, the chukeha. He takes a pasuk and tells him that maybe people here say often and they know the pasuk, but they never thought about the juxtaposition of the pasuk. It's like a weird juxtaposition. But now the Chavis Havlova says, hey, that pasuk makes perfect sense. Ger anochi v'aretz, this is in the Gimel of Kuf Yutes. Ger anochi v'aretz, al taste mimeni mitzolsecha. What? Like, huh? Yeah, I'm a ger, so I want to know the rules of being here. Umeyam. Very interesting. Again, if you had to make your own list, what would your list look like? His list is humility, prepared at any moment to taka have to leave, studying the laws and the rules of the place you're in. Umeyam sheyeha v'sager kamohu. He's going to treat other people in his situation, which obviously we know the Nimshel already, is the entire human race, you're going to treat them nicely. They're in the same boat you are. You understand what boat they're in. You're going to try to do things for them. You want to help them. Sheyehav esager kamohu. Very interesting. He makes this such a primary thing because he's helping, again, the ger is in the moshel, but he means people. You're going to help people. It's a very primary obligation, a very primary part of life, to help others. So he says, this guy is going to feel, hey, let me help others. I understand what I'm empathetic. I understand what he's going through. Let me try to help him. Now you might ask, but you can't do anything without the king's permission. right? But you know that the king wants you to do this. You know that the king is thrilled and certainly allows you. In fact, you end up being the shliach of the king to go help this guy. And that's a big merit for you, that you did something the king wants. Kamosha kosuv, v'ahavten esager. So he, again, in his mashal, he's talking about this guy on the island, the other people who are strangers, but in his nimshal, he's talking about everybody, the human race. Certainly your fellow Jew. He's not talking about a ger. In the nimshal, he's talking about your fellow Jew. Whoever your fellow Jew is. Help him. Because you, why will you help him? There's a, you know, if I would say, why should we help other people? Right? A quiz. A quick quiz. I got a piece of paper. Right? Why you should help other people? So most of you say, oh, because it's a mitzvah. Because I want to be like Hashem. Oh, sophisticated thinkers I have here. Because I want to be like Hashem, and Hashem is a mative, and Hashem is a no-sane. So I also want to be that way. Okay? You're right. I can't mark you wrong. And you say, it's a mitzvah. I also won't mark you wrong. I don't think we would ever consider what the Chayvus Halvavus wants us to consider. I know I wouldn't, but this is what he says. He says, because we have to think of ourselves as strangers here. We're here only at the Barachmei Shemayim. Hashem gives us everything we have. We don't have anything. We're like lost. We're lost. We have to cultivate a relationship with Hashem, because that's all we have. All we have is Hashem. So if I look at someone else like that, I want to help him, right? I want to help him feel secure. Maybe he feels, I am feeling good because I have a good relationship with Hashem. So I'm optimistic and I'm happy. So even though I'm lonely in this, not as a description of my mood, but as a description of the reality. That's what Chavis Havavis is doing here. I'm alone. Okay, not lonely. I'm alone. I am alone. It's me and Hashem. That's all. And I see another person who's alone, but he's depressed and he's sad and he's doing crazy things in his efforts to be happy. He's breaking all the rules. Or he's just sad. He's depressed. I want to help him. Like, I want him to feel the way I feel. I feel great. So if I really feel like a stranger and I feel blessed that I have Hashem doing things for me and I'm aware of it and I'm thankful and I'm humble, and I'm 1, 2, 3, 4, I will also do things for my fellow man in the nimshal. Because I won't usually look at someone else and say, he has what he needs, and I have enough source of my own. What do I have to go do, what do I have to mix in someone else's life for? I'm busy with my own life. She says, no, if you feel like a ger, a stranger, if you feel like a stranger and you don't have anyone and all you have is whatever Hashem gives you and everything is from Him, and that's the way everybody is, and you wrap your head around that and you really feel that way, you'll rush to help other people, because that's the natural inclination, is, oh, let me help you. I know what you're going through. Whoever moved to Eretz Yisrael and has been here and gotten used to it, after 30, 40 years, that was a joke. People help Olim here, Ramat Beit Shemesh, probably everywhere, are like astounded by the way people want to help them. So it's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's taka gavaldik. But part of it is what Chavis Halavavus is saying. I know what you're going through. I went through all of that myself. Like I always tell people that come and make Aliyah, I say any problem you could possibly have, someone in the shul had already that problem, and they dealt with it. So we're here to help you deal with it, because someone, like, you know, because they have a shul of Olim, so everybody had to go to the Mishrat HaPnim, everybody had to get a driver's license, people had to get jobs, people had to find babysitters, had to find Ganim, people had to get into schools, people had to go to the supermarket and figure out what's laundry detergent and what's baking soda, baking powder, I don't know, whatever. Well, one of the things they do for you here is they take you for a walk through the supermarket and they tell you some. We've done it, and Nefesh B'Nefesh does it, and we've done it in the shul. You walk up and down the aisles and you say, this is, Because I still don't know what anything means. My wife doesn't send me shopping. That's just a trick I do. So this is where you see what the Chabad holders is right. Yes, very fine people and wonderful people and going with chasodim, but definitely part of it is, I know what you're going through, and you know, let me help you, because I know exactly, like you're empathetic, because you've been there. So that's another attitude this person will have. And then he says, Umehem, another attitude you'll have, right? We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Another one is, Sheyamayar v'yochesh lidovek ba'avodos Adonai HaMedina. Not only are you going to learn the rules, but you're going to make sure that you please this melech. You don't get him angry. You get him angry, he's going to evict you. You don't want to be evicted. So you're going to make sure that you follow the rules. Not only are you going to learn the rules, but you're going to follow the rules. Mehem sheyamar v'yochish lihidovek ba'avodas Adonai HaMedina. Because you can't, like, okay, even if he gets angry at me, I'll call in my friend, the Secretary of State. No. You have no friends. Nobody's going to help you. Nobody does a move here without the king directing them to. So you have no one to fall back on, no one to help you. So you're not going to want to cross the guy. You're going to want to cross the guy who's, you're totally dependent on him. No one else can do anything for you. If you fall short of doing what you're supposed to do, no one is going to help you. Like, okay, I'll get that guy to intercede for me. Ki inyano, your matzav, the way you are, is hepech tshuvas hashunamis. Again, very fascinating how he learns up this pasuk. There's a story of the shunamis, and we just read it in the Haftarah a couple weeks ago. In Vayera, the story of the shunamis that Elisha promised for a child, and then the child was nifter, and then Elisha basically brought him back to, not basically, Elisha brought him back to life. So in the beginning of the story, she does Achnasos Arachim, and the Novi is very pleased with her Achnasos Arachim for him. So he says, what can I do for you? And her answer is, what's quoted here in the Chavis Al-Vavis, Hayesh l'dabr loch el ha-melech, that's his offer, or Sar Hatzavla, maybe I should speak to the king for you, maybe I can get your kids out of the draft, maybe I could speak to, I'm a very influential person here, let me help you. And she answers, Sh'omer b'toch ha-miyon o'chi yosheves. So the Chavis Al-Vavis is interpreting the pshat in that posuk. This is the way he's learning pshat, that, because it's a vague answer, it doesn't really answer anything, but Tochami and Ochi Yosheves. So the Chabad is learning that I have people to intercede for me. I have a lot of friends, a lot of neighbors, and I have people to help me if I need a favor from the Melech. Kolomar Sha'ami Umishpachti Yidabru Elov Ba'avuri Beisat Sorech. I don't need you, thank you very much, I totally appreciate it, but I have people that'll go to the Melech if I need something. So that's how he's interpreting the word B'socha Me'anochi Yosheves. Okay, very nice. But the Ger is not like that. The Ger is not B'socha Me. The Ger doesn't have anyone. Ve'no Keninyan HaGer. This Ger that is on this island doesn't have anyone and can't say B'tocha Me'anochi Yosheves. Like, I attack, I'm dependent on the Melech. You're right. Kmosha Abar, again, maybe a familiar pasuk, and this is the way he's interpreting it. Habet Yomin Orei Veinli Makir Ovad Manos Mimeni Ein Doreish Lenavshi. That's what this pasuk is saying. Look, extend to me your right hand. I have no one that's makir me, I have no one, it's meaningless. No one knows me, no one's looking after me. Everything is only from Hashem. I am like that person here on this island.
How's that fit in with our going to the building and getting them to the universe?
Whoa.
Should I say one should?
First of all, I don't know if we should go to Gedolim and Tzadikim and ask them to intercede for us. I think you could ask them for a bracha, if that's what you mean.
Okay.
It's a different nekuda. he's not. If Hashem, if brachas work, if Hashem set up the system, so, and if I'm allowed to take advantage of it, so it's weiter. The king is telling me that I have told that person to give out $10 bills today. So, I don't have no problem if you get online and get the $10 bill. Just remember that the $10 bill is from me. It's not really from him. So if someone giving brachas and you believe that the person, has an ability to be mevarech, which we find in the Chumash, v'abarachom v'arachecha, right? We find v'heyei bracha. So if Hashem allows it, it means Hashem. Then the main thing is we should remember that it's because Hashem is really, even by the Kohanim, it says, the Som Washmi O Bnei Yisrael Vaniya Varchem. And one pshat is, I'll bless the Kohanim. The Kohanim bless you, I'll bless the Kohanim. But another pshat is, I am the one really blessing Klal Yisrael. Never forget that. The Kohanim are blessing you, but it's only functioning because they're the conduit for my blessing. So the answer to your question is to always remember that they are merely the conduit for Hashem's blessing.
But I'm thinking of the one currently with Rebbe Kanievsky, where she said this damn child provides shmira for you.
That's neither a bracha nor an intercession. That was a certain reality she was stating. She was stating a matter of fact that you shouldn't take it as a nevuah. You shouldn't even take it as a tefillah. You shouldn't even take it as a bracha. She was stating a fact. She was stating something that she believed to be true. It turned out to be true. That's a statement of fact. If I say, make yourself, and this is a concept found in many, in a number of Musa Sfarim, I tell you, the more people that you make yourself useful to, when Hashem does something to someone, so he takes everything into account, right? Everything. So let's say something's supposed to happen to Reuven, and he made a cheshbon already that Reuven's wife checked it all out. Reuven's wife and Reuven's kids and Reuven's first cousin and everything. Has a din v'cheshbon. Hashem doesn't, right? There's no residual, no collateral damage by Hashem, chas v'shalom. The whole thing is collateral damage. Hashem takes everything into account. Then he went, wait, stop! He goes shopping for this lady on the corner every Thursday night. She's an almona and he does her shopping for her for Thursday night. And Hashem says, wait, I can't think of any reason why the almona should suffer. She's a good lady, and why should she suffer? So I'm going to have to spare his life. I have no choice. There's a concept that the more people you make, there is a concept in Musa Sfarim. I'm not, you know, take it for what it's worth. There's a concept in Musa Sfarim that the more people you make yourself useful to, then the safer you are. Because, again, Hashem doesn't do anything unless it's... there's no collateral damage, so everything has to be Yisrael. Now, we don't know Hashem's cheshbonos. That's why I don't like these stories, because of Moshe Tversky, who I knew pretty well, Zatzal, he was full of chesed too. He did. You know, he was a Rosh Hashiva, a very Odom Godol, a very big masmid, a very big. He, without telling anybody knowing. On Fridays, he drove a truck for Ezer Mitzion. He drove, and he delivered packages. So, you know, the stories are good, but you have to remember, I'm always nervous, they might result in questioning Darkei Shemayim. You tell the story, and it's great, but Ramosha Tversky was killed. And he delivered packages Friday afternoon. So like, why is that less than the father of the autistic child? So it is a concept, but again, Hashem, we don't know Darkei Hashem. That is the Aleph. It has to start with that. The Pasuk says in the Novi, Gilo machshvosai machshvoseichem, velo darcheichem derochoi, ki gavu shemayim me'oretz, ken gavu Darchichem Darchakai, Machshavos Sechem Machshavos Sai. We don't know. Hashem has all of history laid out in front of him, and he's moving the pieces around on the chessboard, he's moving the pieces around on the jigsaw puzzle. There's billions and billions and billions and billions of pieces, and it's a three-dimensional puzzle, and it goes four-dimensional. It goes through time, and it goes through space, and it goes, and Hashem, so you know, it's a great story. And the Balei Musar do say it as a concept. Make yourself as useful as you can to as many people as you can. And then when Hashem wants to do something to you, he has to sit there and make sure that everybody deserves it. I'm laughing, not, you know, it's a good point. And it's true, Kasher Shalom, to say it's not true. Sometimes there are all sorts of cheshbainas. Hashem does all sorts of things for all sorts of reasons. You know, so I'm a little, this is just me personally, I'm a little uncomfortable when we talk about the one that was saved, that this is why he was saved. Yeah, okay, so then maybe I'm a cynical guy. I said, yeah, but what about the one that was killed? He also did chesed. He also, but that's not a kasha. I mean, it's a kasha, but we don't ask kashas on Hashem. We realize that Hashem is, like I said, you know, I said, this is how long he had to live in this world. We learn Chavis Halavas, and he died in the best possible way a person can die. If you had a choice, I wrote the email, I don't know if you saw it, if the neshama had a choice, Hashem said, you're going to die after this many years, this many minutes, but you're a nice guy, you're a great guy, you're a wonderful guy, a special guy, I'm going to let you choose how you want to die. So this is what he would have picked. So like, what do you want? He would have picked, I want to die davening and wearing my thousand tefillin, and I'll kiddush Hashem. So like, Hashem is saying to us, so what do you guys want? I just granted his wish, that's all. So, but it is a true concept. Anyway, but what she said, Grada, it wasn't a bracha and it wasn't a tefillah, it was a statement of a reality, which is a true reality. Except that we have to always remember we are puny people, we are very small-minded, we live in the here and the now, we understand, our understanding is limited, our insight is limited, we don't read minds, we don't know what's really going on, we don't know what's behind the scenes. You know, it's almost a joke how limited we are in our knowledge of what's happening. You know, we say, you know, we know what's happening. We don't know what's going on. We're just like observers of a play. And like there's all sorts of, it's like a 10-ring circus, and we see like a little part of one ring, and we think, yeah, I saw the circus already. You didn't see anything. Because we can't grasp everything. You can't grasp a 10-ring circus. Sometimes you can't grasp it. It's too much. All right? Our vision, the human vision, is limited to a couple of things, maybe, and it's what we see, and we want instant gratification, and we don't understand things because we don't look in the long term. Anyway, we don't think Hashem is like Hashem. It's like he's so far beyond anything we could fathom that it's like almost also not also it's almost. Like it shouldn't need to be said, but it does need to be said because we're human beings and we see something like this and we don't understand it. Anyway, granted, that wasn't a bracha and it wasn't a tefillah. Okay, she's a navi. You got me. So we have to be magi on the Gemara. It says there were 7 neviyos. We have to add number 8. Okay, but it's a true concept. Anyway, to answer your question, though, which is a good question if we leave out the story, and that is that if the king says, I told the banker to give out $10 bills Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock, and said, okay, can I get online? He said, yeah, sure, get online. Just remember that I'm the one providing it. You could say thank you to the banker, because that's menschlich. But don't start thinking that he's giving you the $10. I am. So that's the same thing with a bracha from the Bible. Okay. I'm going to figure out, Mrs. Noel, tonight how we're going to juggle new beginnings.
Okay.
We have it. Be well. Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Baruch Hashem. The doctor declared me 100% healed.
Wow.
He said, come back in a month.
Wow.
I've been seeing him twice a week and then once a week, and now he'll come back in a month.
Wow.
Rosh Chodesh, yes, don't forget. I was sure you ladies would bring like cake and cupcakes. But you knew it was bad for me, so you didn't bring it. Thank you. Thank you. Yalla v'yavah.